So my message this morning is called Meditation on Peace, Rest, and Pulling Weeds in the Front Yard in the Springtime During a Drought at the age of 65 on a big piece of property. But I have a thought before I do that. The scripture teaches that we should honor our mother and father. This is the first promise. This is the first word. This is God's, one of his first words with a promise. That it might be well with you young people, and that you might live long in this earth, and that you might prosper. There's a might in there, because everybody doesn't live long in this earth, even though you find people that do exactly that, and things happen. God has a will, and God has a way, and God does things according to his purpose. But there's another part of that that it's not really talked about that much. And it's the next verse. It says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Doesn't say mothers, because y'all be culling us and all that other stuff anyhow. You know, you just think we're the best thing. But it says, fathers, don't exasperate your children or bring them to wrath or anything like that. You have such a big call on your life to take care of your children. Fathers. It's so important. And I just thought that's a little a bit that I just wanted to share. It's always on my mind. How do I treat my sons? You know, because it's important that I don't anger them, that I don't cause them to become wrathful, that I don't cause them to leave in a huff, that I learn how to say I'm sorry, that I learn how to lead them as men. So important. I just had to throw that in there. I'm not going to say that's free because it's in the Word of God. But it's there, and it's not really talked about that much because we think that children owe us so much, and all the onus is on them. But it's not. It's more on the parent than it is on the child. We have a great responsibility to raise our children in the way that God wants them to be raised. Anyhow, the way I'm going now, I might have to get another bottle of water. It's really dry up here. So I was out in the yard pulling weeds. While doing this, all kinds of thoughts were going through my mind. Like, what am I doing out here? What's wrong with you? And those are reasonable thoughts. I'm probably a little bit here from the devil and stuff like that because I like going out and pulling weeds. I like working in the yard. It gets really real. Besides, I like doing that kind of stuff outdoors. Some of the weeds look to be not very deep, and they come out very easy. You've been out pulling weeds, and you just pulling them up and throwing them over there, and you look down, and the roots are still there because you didn't go deep enough. Some you knew were very deep, and you had to use a shovel. I mean, some of my weeds is like foot and a half deep. So I got to get down there and get into it. It was in the morning, obviously. It was yesterday morning. It was very hot. I'm 65 years old. Not that that might not matter or whatever, but. Some of the weeds were hiding. You ever go out of your yard and you got a whole bunch of weeds, but even some of them are still hiding from you. They know I'm out there, and they're hiding. We like to hide our weeds, because that's what I'm getting at here. You know, I think you know where I'm going. We like to hide our weeds. Had to really search for them. Only the fig leaves were available, if you know what I'm saying. One thing for sure, those weeds did not want to come out. The thing that I was learning was that I have a lot of weeds in me that have to come out. They do. They have to come out. Even if they're deeper, if they're on the surface, wherever those weeds are in our life, they have to come out. Everybody's got them. It's not a person sitting here who doesn't have weeds. We're talking yard-wise, but. We're really talking spiritually and physically. I say, what am I doing out there and stuff like that? But I really believe God had me out there pulling the weeds because he doesn't speak to my heart. So I'm pulling weeds and my heart's starting to beat fast. You finally decide to get rid of some of those weeds. I'm like, got to do it. This was a really tough week for me. This was a really tough week for me. And there was a lot of turmoil going on in this heart, in my heart. So one of the things I had to work on was Donna gave a word. And one of the things I was working on this week is peace. You know, how do I get my heart to settle down through all that turmoil that was going on this week? I had to settle down. I had to find peace. Peace is, when we say peace, we think it's like the absence of war. But peace is, in Scripture, peace is this thing where if Jewish people were saying peace, they would say shalom, you know, or peace to you. And it was a type of greeting that encouraged, and this, I don't want to get hokey or anything like that, but tranquility. It encouraged satisfaction. It encouraged rest. It encouraged perfectness. It encouraged you're good with it. You're good with whatever situation is going on, you're good with it. I had to find it. I had to find that place of peace in a week that was pieces. It was a messed up week. It was a stinky week. But I had to find peace. Weeds wrap their little tentacles around you. They take over. This week I was looking for peace, but I was pretty angry. And I was getting jealous. I want to read a scripture that's one of my favorite scriptures, Job 22. I probably can quote it. I probably quoted it up here a lot of other times. But I want to read it. Job chapter 22 and verse 21. It goes on to make all these great promises. And if you know anything about Job, you know Job was looking for some peace, looking for some understanding, looking for whatever. He just went through a horrific week or weeks of weeks. But it says, submit to God and be at peace with him. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for peace with God. Because so many times you're going, where are you, God? Where are you, God? The psalmist asks all the time, where are you, God? What's going on? Things are just falling apart. Where are you? And you're just looking. You're waiting. And God's looking. And I'll tell you what, God's waiting too. In the midst of all the turmoil and struggle and frustration and stuff like that, God's waiting for something. He's waiting for something. So submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. And this is out of the New International Version. It says, accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove wickedness far from your tent. Now, it says, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. But I'm not trying to get away from the Almighty. I'm just trying to get some relief. You know, I'm not trying to get away from the Almighty. I don't know that I'm living in such a sinful nature that, or sinful place where God's not there. He's turned his back on me. That's not what's going on here. I'm just struggling like so many of us do. You know, I'm not perfect. I want to pursue perfection, but I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. Accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove wickedness far from your tent, there's wickedness. There's sometimes wickedness in my tent. It might not be that I'm running around telling Janet she's the worst lady in the world, or I'm hitting my kids, or you know, going across the street to a neighbor and cussing them out and stuff like that. I'm not being that kind of wicked, you know. But there's some stuff going on in here that God might see as wickedness that he needs to get hold of and pull it out. And assign your nuggets to the dust, your gold of Ophir to to the rocks and the ravens. Now, I don't got no gold. I don't know who he's talking to in this part of it. It's not me. Then the Almighty will be your gold. But that part, if I do those things, whatever, if I just got pennies and I submit it to God, then he'll return it and he'll be my gold. He'll be my gold. And he'll be the choicest silver for me. What a powerful, I just love reading that scripture. I've read that scripture times and times and times every year. It's just such a great piece of scripture with the promises of God, the challenges of God. You do this, I do that. If you do this, I do that. The biggest word in the Bible, by the way, is if. Surely then you will find delight in the Almighty and will lift up your face to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you and you will fulfill your vows. What you decide on will be done and light will shine on your ways. When men are brought low and you say, lift them up, then he will save the downcast. He will deliver even one who is not innocent. Who will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands? You do those things. You submit to God. You lay your gold as like the gold of Oprah, which her name was supposed to be Oprah, but her dad didn't know how to spell it, so he came up with Oprah. But if you lay your gold as the gold of Oprah and let God have it, whatever your gold nugget is, because I don't think he's necessarily talking about gold. He's talking about those things. We were in the management class. He's talking about those things that Jesus told them because of they belong to you. He's like, lay that stuff out there. And he'll take it back from you and turn it into gold and silver. He'll turn it into powerful stuff. He'll turn it into good stuff. So I'm out there digging weeds. And one of the things that I got to lay down is that peace. It's a fine peace. And to lay down the jealousy. And to lay down the anger. So I was an angry man this week. It just wasn't going right. I'm not usually an angry person or a jealous person. I'm in turmoil. Bad thoughts like crazy. Felt like a slug. I told my wife, I just feel like a slug. That's just on the ground. I mean, that's where I was. Just because I'm standing up here doesn't mean nothing. I hurt like everybody else. Pastor Ryan hurts like everybody else. Any pastor that stands on the pulpit hurts just like anybody else. They didn't become unreal because they became a pastor. They probably got more pains because they're... You know what I'm saying? So there's turmoil going on. And in the middle of this, I'm just going, slow down. Pump the brakes. Just stop. I'm out there pulling these weeds, and it's like, just stop. And maybe it's not me, but maybe it's the Spirit of God just saying, stop. Just stop and wait. Somewhere in your spirit is a place of rest. God gives us rest because he's a God who rests. And he expects us to rest from our turmoil, from our struggles, from our angers, from our jealousies, from our nitpicking, from our backbiting, from our hatreds. He expects it. Because that's not part of his nature. And if it's not part of his nature, it shouldn't be part of ours. Even though we are fallen beings. He wouldn't put it up there in front of us to tease us. He puts that stuff there so that we can do it. So that we can overcome it. That's why he put it there. He He's not dangling a carrot that we can never get. Like the horses chasing around the tracks, or the greyhound dogs chasing the rabbit, and you know they can't catch the rabbit. That's not God. God doesn't do those things. Jesus told a story about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And after he finished, most of his disciples left and asked, and he asked the 12 if they were going to leave also. And we know what Peter said. Peter asked a question that we should ask every day. And answer it every day. Peter said, where can we go? Who else can we go to? You and you alone have the words of eternal life. We should ask that question and answer that question every morning as part of what we say when we get up. God, where can we go? Who's going to lead us like you? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. And if we make that a portion of what we do, if we make ideas like that, there's other things in Scripture that you should get up in the morning saying. Because they are words of eternal life. Teach us, dear Lord, to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Satisfy us early that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. And then at the end of that Scripture in Psalms 90, it says, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. It says, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. And then establish, God, the works of our hands. My hands were outside doing work. Physical labor. Pulling weeds with a shovel. Down on my knees sometimes. Again, if you're like me, you wonder sometimes, where are you, God? Can't you see that I am in trouble? I'm ready to run and not deal with this stuff. I'm ready to book. It's time to vacate. It's time to go. I've had enough. He's like, so what? It doesn't shake me that you got issues. I'm going to help you in your issues, but I'm not going to change. I'm going to help you, but I'm not going to change. You got to come my way. You got to come by me. I'm not going by you. You got to come by me. I got the right answers. You got the wrong answers. That's not a lie, is it? That's the truth, isn't it? If we're looking for answers, go to the answer man. John 14, 27 says, one of my wife's beautiful bookmarks. John 14, 27 says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That's not just a saying that Jesus said. He actually left his peace with you. He actually did it. He turned away from the disciples after he said that, and they had peace all over them, I would assume. Because that's what he just told them, right? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And that is a part of his strength that we can go in. It's a daily thing. It's part of the armor of God, by the way. Even though it doesn't necessarily say in Ephesians 6, it just says, put on the armor of God. Well, part of the armor of God is the peace that he leaves with you. That's part of the armor of God. You can find other numerous things that you can put inside that armor, that you can put inside that shield, that you can put inside the breastplate, that you can shod your feet with. But one of them is the gospel of peace. One of them is the gospel of good news. It's not necessary to the person out there until you get it inside of yourself. First, you get the peace inside of you, then you give it to somebody else. You know, it doesn't do any good to go out telling people peace, 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 and you're in turmoil. They're like, you crazy. You messed up yourself. You telling me about peace? No, you got to find it in yourself first. You got to be in a place of tranquility. I'm not a New Ager, so I'm just using that word. You got to find yourself in that place of peace, no matter what. Soon I found some peace. I'm out there with God. The hot sun, weeds, shovel, and I'm digging, and I'm pulling, and I'm singing, and I'm remembering scripture. We find that peace, we find that calm, we're good. You know that situation, like they always say, calm the child in the storm, and you need to calm the storm in the child. No, both are going on at the same time. I need to get calm. I need to, that storm that's just raging inside of me needs to be calm. It needs to be calm. That weed needs to be pulled. That weed needs to be pulled. All of a sudden, boom, just pull the weed. I just pulled a weed. I like got peace. So I wouldn't pull another weed because the things that happened this week made me angry. So there's some angry weeds out there. I think they fight back because they're angry. You're pulling them out of the ground. So you're pulling it, they're like, not going to happen. You know, you're going, nope. You know, you're pulling because the weeds got to go. The weeds have to go. The temple that God builds does not have weeds. They don't belong there. That's for your benefit. That's for my benefit. That we pull weeds out. A couple of nights, going to sleep, angry, makes for a very messed up night. They become nights of unrest, and maybe anger often leads to bitterness, which is another weed that has to be pulled. Like milkweed. Ugh. You ever pull milkweed and it breaks off in your hand? That's nasty. It smells. It's like, ugh. You can't get out, you wash, you can't, there's white stuff. You know, milkweed grows like boom, boom, boom. It just goes, and it goes down is the same. It's growing both at the same time, the same way. It's like you need a spade shovel this deep to get down to a milkweed root. Sometimes we got milkweed in our life. We got those milkweed roots in there that have to dig out and get out. One of the things I did with the weeds as I was pulling them, I threw them out in the yard. Guess what? They're still there today because they're dying and they are dead. Amen. There's going to be no more life in those weeds. Amen. And that's the same thing we have to do in our life. We pull these weeds out, be unpolitically correct right now and call it sin. We pull those sins out and we toss them over there and leave them over there. They're crawling back. Got to find Greg. We're drying up. Got to find Greg. Greg's like, I don't think so. Not going to happen. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Some of them get really close. They nip at your feet. They, you know, they want you. They're in love with you. They grow fast and deep. And the shovel really has to go deep. And it has to be done fast because of the possibility of bitterness. If you don't deal with your anger, and it becomes bitterness. Bitterness is like a diet soda. None of it is good for you. And it leaves a real bad aftertaste in your mouth. I'm giving you something you can relate to. Because I know some of y'all out there drink diet sodas. And you know what I'm talking about. Diet sodas taste nasty. And they don't help you on a diet. Don't get me wrong, I get angry a lot. I've said that a few times, I'll say it more, but most times I deal with it before I go to sleep. I get my heart, I go, work on your heart, Greg, man, because if you go to bed angry and bitter, you're going to wake up angry and bitter. And you're going to be you're like, why do I feel like this morning? I just, you know, and about halfway through the day, you just, oh yeah, you know, I was angry and bitter yesterday, and I didn't really deal with it the way it should have been dealt with. And so now I got 2 days, working on 2 days of anger and bitterness. But it's growing faster than 2 days at a time. Anger and bitterness grows a lot faster than 24-hour day. It gets its clamped in you, and you are in trouble if you don't deal with it. Don't realize we have issues. Listen, I know we have issues. Anger and bitterness somewhere along the line should involve forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a root or a weed stuck in the ground. Forgiveness is a flower in your yard of weeds. Peter says, how many times should I forgive this fool over here? Seven times, Jesus? Seven times? I can do seven times. I can do seven times in a day. I can do five times. Jesus, I can do three times. I'm not even forgiving that dude. Bitterness, anger. Jesus, what was his reply? Peter, 7 times 70. 470, by the way. 470 times in a day you got to forgive somebody. Impossible. But go ahead and try it. You will spend the whole day in humility and joy, short-suffering, excitement, and freedom. Because if you can forgive somebody 470 times in a day, they're really messed up and so are you. I mean, if you got to forgive somebody 470 times in a day, but you get Jesus' point. You get the point. We live as believers in an attitude of forgiveness. Sometimes we have to forgive ourselves. Sometimes that might be the starting point in forgiveness, that we forgive ourselves. And that's okay. We should sometimes come to the place where we need to forgive ourselves. We've done bad things. We've done stupid things. We've done horrible things. And we can't come to the place of asking God to forgive us because we can't forgive ourselves. And we had to come to a place where I need to feel good about me. That's not being selfish. I think that's a healthy thing. God allows us at some points to feel good about ourselves. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So there's a point in there where you need to love yourself in a healthy and respectful way. There's enough damage done by us not forgiving ourselves and not loving ourselves and not thinking highly of ourselves. Not arrogantly, not selfishly, but righteously. 7 times 70 do we forgive. So there's weeds all over the place with forgiveness written on them. Just got to dig them up. There's, I'm sorry, plants over flowers, roses, things like that with forgiveness on them. there's a lot of weeds and things like that with unforgiveness and anger and bitterness and so on. And that's what I named them. I named them, pulling up this weed is bitterness. This one's envy. This one's jealousy. This one's hatred. This one's selfishness. You can read about it in Galatians 5. It's real life stuff. Some stupid weeds. Some of them I'm just grabbing and not getting to the root. So the next week, they will be back and treat me like the Warriors treat the Lakers. That's right. The Warriors are like too tall Satan. And the Lakers, they just need to do a lot of weed pulling. So I'm out there trying to hear from the Spirit of God. And he is telling me, I'm not going to get them all today. I'm not going to become 100%er today when I'm pulling these weeds. I'm not going to get it all right today when I pull these weeds. Oh, I pulled the weed of bitterness. And so I'm not going to ever be bitter again. I'm not going to ever struggle with bitterness again. I pulled the weed of envy, and I'm not going to ever be envious of anyone else again. I pulled the weed of jealousy, and I'm not going to ever be jealous of someone else. Doesn't work like that. It's a process. Scripture teaches that we are being built into a temple, that we are going to be royal priests, that we are going to be these great folks that God loves. But it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week's time. Sometimes things happen just like that. When I became a believer, I stopped drinking beer. Just like that. God says, stop drinking beer. I stopped drinking beer. Just like that. No problem. To this very day, no problem. But it doesn't always happen like that. It doesn't always happen like that. Now I'm getting excited. Because I'm seeing clearer now, kind of like when I first believed. It was so easy to get rid of stuff when you first believed. You know, oh, God's cleaning the house. Man, yeah, I don't want that anymore. It's so fresh. It's so fresh. The ugliness is so fresh. Get rid of that stuff. Let it go. Oh, yeah, no problem. You know, 5 years down the line, you're settled in being your Christian self. Your Christianese, your religious self. You're settled in all that. Now the weeds have kind of gotten in there, and they've kind of settled in. They've kind of made themselves a home. And so now God's starting the process over again. I'm sweating out there. It's hot. Here's an older guy trying to get these old and new weeds out of his yard. There's something. And it's just another one of those things that we should learn to do. David had a lot of struggles, and everybody was turning against him, except he had some of these great guys that would go to the ends of the world for David. But most of the people wanted to just, like, string him up, kill him. And David had caused him to struggle greatly. And the Bible says this thing about David. It says, David refreshed himself in the Lord. How often do you do that? You take time to refresh yourself in Jesus, in the Lord, because we need that. So sometimes you just got to step back and refresh yourself in the Lord. However God shows you how to do that, that's between you and him. I do all kinds of things. I'm stepping back, and I'm gonna speak good things about me. I'm going to speak kind things to me. I'm going to tell myself, not quite that I'm the best thing since sliced bread and pre-salted margarine, but I'm going to tell myself I'm a good guy. according to Jesus, because my life is hidden in Christ. And because my life is hidden in Christ, I can tell myself that I am good because my life is hidden in Christ. If I'm not hidden in Christ, and I'm running around telling myself I'm the best thing since sliced bread and pre-soft and margarine, you know, and I'm just loving on myself like some crazy dude, that doesn't work. But hidden inside of Christ, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And every one of you should too. Because the scripture teaches you that you should. It speaks to you better things. And it tells you that you are better than what you think you are. It tells you that you are better than what other people tell you that you are. Don't listen to the voices outside. Listen to the voices in here. So I'm pulling weeds and I'm excited. I'm going after the weeds. I mean, if you've been in my yard, my drought-stricken yard, you know it's a big piece of property and it's got a lot of weeds because we were good people and we did what the state said do and don't water your yard. Fool me once. Fool me twice. So I got all of these weeds. And so I'm digging these weeds up. And I'm excited because God's speaking to my spirit. God's speaking to my heart. Pull that weed. Pull that weed. Pull that weed. Because I'm going to do something. I'm going to bring you peace. I'm going to bring you expectation of joy. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to make you righteous. I'm going to speak to you of holiness. I'm going to speak to you of contentment. I'm going to show you things so you don't have to lust after other people's stuff. Because that's the kind of God he is. So I pulled a particular weed and like 900 million red ants came out. I was like, it's cool. Brother, yeah. And they were mad. I mean, I could see them looking right at me. And they were scrambling, man. They were like, and I was like, moonwalking on out of there. I was like, you're a piece of property. I just got to get the weeds, man. You'll be there a lot longer than I will, I'm sure. But I had to get the weeds. And so I'm getting these things off of me, and one of them bit me. And just like in Job, it says, Job did not sin with his lips, and neither did Greg. But I wanted to, because it hurt. But you know what? It doesn't hurt as bad as being miserable because you can't deal with your sin and your situation. That's like a continual 24/7 pain. Just because we don't want God to get in there and start digging out the weeds. Well, yesterday was a day where God was allowed to dig in the weeds. And I was like, yeah, this feels pretty good. Because I am so content right now. I don't care what those outward circumstances that controlled me Friday night and Saturday morning. They don't control me now. They're not going to control me tomorrow. They're not going to control me the next day. Church starts at, ends at 12, doesn't it? Daniel, come on up. You always wonder if you have enough. The quietest person when he gets up here and he becomes a preacher, God anoints him with the gift of gab. And he don't know when enough is enough. But next week is rototilling. I never, while doing this, pulling out of weeds, heard God condemn me. Not one time. Sinners saved by the grace of God. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of convicting stuff going on, to be sure. And there should be. But God does not condemn his children. So if you're feeling condemned in your situation, that's not God. Check yourself, like they say, before you wreck yourself. It's not God. God convicts and God restores. God does not condemn the believer and destroy the believer. He is a God who loves. He is a just God. He is righteous and wise in all his ways. I don't know where you're at. I know you're in this room. I don't know where you're at spiritually. I don't know if Christ is the center of your life, if he's the head of this house. But if he isn't, there's opportunity for you to come today and say, I'm turning it over to you, Jesus. 40-some years ago, I woke up from the craziest dream. I thought that was reality, but it wasn't reality. And I lived in that dream for 25 years. No longer do I live in that dream. The life, as Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's the life we live. Pull some weeds. God will be there with you. Let me say one more thing. I'm running over and I'm always yelling about people running over with their mouths. I pulled a couple more weeds and I can hear God, I can hear the Spirit of God saying, don't pull any more weeds. Don't pull any more weeds. I said, oh, it's getting so good. I'm going to pull a couple more weeds, Jesus. Well, guess what? They broke off. They didn't come out like they were supposed to because I was doing it now in my strength. Because God had already gone in a sense of saying he has something else to do in a sense. I pulled the weeds that he told me to pull, but then I'm going to pull some more myself. Just pull the weeds he tells you to pull. Might just be one. Might be many.